Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Whoa. Mike Harmon off tonight. Special delivery, Steve DeSager in for him. As, boy, I'll tell you what, every day is sort of following the same, pattern, where late in the day, there's just a flurry of news because the NBA and MLB and the NFL have had meetings about something COVID restart related, and we get a whole bunch of stuff just dumped at us like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Weird. Usually all the big news happens in the morning, early part of the day, and then once in a while we get a story breaking at night that's a really big deal. And usually when that happens, it's something coming from a game that's going on, but obviously no games happening now. But the last month or two, it's been okay. But after a whole day's worth of thinking things and having conference calls and Zoom calls, hey, we get big stories. And we told you yesterday, this is a huge, huge, huge week for restarting sports for the NBA and Major League Baseball, because this is when the players are getting a little skittish and a little nervous about going and restarting the season. You know, we had players bow out yesterday in the NBA and in Major League Baseball. Today, again, the same thing. Lou Williams, still unsure if he's going to restart the season with the Clippers. And if the Clippers don't have Lou Williams, I don't think the Clippers beat the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. I'm sorry. I'm just putting both those teams in the Western Conference Finals. I hope that's okay. This is the first real big domino of, boy, if they're missing him, if a team is missing player X who decided to not come back, that's going to put a dent in their title plan. So this is what we're getting now, is that the players need to be shepherded through this situation and being told that, hey, we got you. You know, the NBA and MLB saying, listen, we're all set. We got you. We're going to take care of you. Well, today, Adam Silver went on a podcast on Time, Time 100 Talks. He did an appearance on Time 100 Talks, and he was asked about the NBA's chances of not going to Orlando. And Adam Silver said, hey, while the plan is to go on and play, hey, you can't just say full steam ahead.
Never full steam ahead, no matter what. I think one thing we're learning about this virus is much is unpredictable, and I think we and our players together with their union, the Players Association, look at the data on a daily basis. And if there was something to change that was outside of the scope of what we're playing for, certainly we would revisit our plans. I'd also say, I mean, we're testing daily. We haven't put a precise number on it, but if we were to see a large number of cases and we were to see spread in our community, that would, of course, would be a cause for us to stop as well.
Now, there's two big things coming off this. And the first thing, Steve, is that I'm actually glad that I heard Adam Silver say, hey, if the coronavirus gets out of control, this could stop us playing.
Actually, because, possible, yeah.
Because with what's going on now in the country, there's so much, you know, full steam ahead that no matter what, and it can get out of control, and you're talking about people's health. I'm actually glad to hear that Adam Silver saying, hey, wait, no, can't say full steam ahead, because the player's health is important. We have to take care of this. That could stop us. Because when I see stories today like Major League Baseball insinuating that if a player gets COVID, they're going to hide that test and just the player goes on the injured list and they don't say anything.
Well, the implication was that they have to hide the test to be federal reporting, kind of like college sports sometimes do. Don't want to release the medical information.
Sure, but you know, I think you kind of have to let people know that. I think you have to.
Well, you can guess,
kind of a
right?
Thing that's important. Sure, but anytime I hear a sport say we may hide positive coronavirus tests from anybody, that's never a good look, because you're right. Wondering, okay, are you going to just hide cases and just try to play no matter what? Are you going to see teams lie to players and say, yeah, no, you're fine, just going to sit for a couple of days, meanwhile you're in quarantine, and you don't know it, or they don't tell you you're officially in it? So I'm kind of glad to hear Adam Silver say, listen, we're not just going to go crazy and go and play no matter what and just collect money at the gate and doesn't matter who's healthy. He knows coronavirus could get to the point where that stops basketball, and there's no hard and fast time where I could say, okay, this will stop it. It's going to be a smell test thing. It's going to be, we can play until we realize we can't play anymore. So I'm actually kind of buoyed by Adam Silver and the leadership he's showing here as far as this goes. It was kind of, took a little bit of pressure off me today going, okay, the NBA, at least I know, is going to do things the right
way. People were, remember, saying a few weeks ago, okay, are they going to pause the playoffs if some star has to actually pause for a couple of weeks because he tested positive? And flat out this past week, Silver said, nope. You're going to treat that like you had an injured player during the regular season. Nope, you'll just have to go without him.
You know, and that gets into a different thing where, okay, you're not going to stop the game. But let's just say this happens, right? Let's say on two nights before the end of the regular season, or in the middle of the playoffs, let's just say it doesn't matter, that the Raptors are going to play the Celtics. All right, Raptors set to play the Celtics. Raptors and Celtics each play on Monday night. They're going to play on Wednesday night. Well, on Tuesday morning, we find out three Raptors players test positive for COVID-19. But they're going into isolation, and they're going to be monitored, and everything is fine. Are the Celtics, who have no positive COVID-19 tests, are they going to say, yeah, we're ready to play this game the next day? You're ready to go? No, we'll play. Because you're not going to know. You're not going to know if the other players you're playing against have COVID-19, if you're going to get it from them. So if you suddenly have a team that says, yeah, we got three positive tests, the NBA can say, okay, well, they're being monitored and they're fine, and we'll get them back in, and they have to isolate and self-quarantine. But you don't know what the effect on the rest of the team is. Yeah, you could take their temperatures, but sometimes the symptoms take a couple of days. Is a team that has no positive tests going to say, yes, we're going to go play this game the next day? That's a big thing that I think we're not thinking about enough, because look, we had teams refuse to play at the end. Rudy Gobert tests positive for COVID-19, right? All the games are canceled. We're going to play one more game with the Kings and the Pelicans, and the Pelicans say, referee from our game, ref Rudy Gobert's game the other night, we're not playing, so okay, there's no game.
And this
part of it too.
The power of the player, especially in this league, right? So if you get a few players together, it's kind of like the Donald Sterling situation. Remember, those Clipper players would have stopped playing. Wasn't it a playoff game?
Yeah, I mean, they would have walked off. They would have walked off.
They would have come together
with a tip-off.
Forget it. So I could obviously see a team coming together in this type of situation with this COVID-19 hovering over all sports.
Yeah. Now, whether or not Adam Silver is doing this because he's doing the right thing, or he knows how powerful the players are, and that buoys me too, is that the players aren't going. I don't think the NBA players are going to be herded into doing anything they don't want to do. The professional athletes, the star baseball players, the NBA players are going to say, listen, if we got this going on, we're just not going to play, and we're going to figure this out. It's not going to be, we're telling you have to go play, and they're going to be powerless in this. Look, the NBA players are very, very powerful, and so they're going to be the ones that are going to make the decisions on this. But the other thing about this is that I'm coming around on an idea that I first thought was a bad idea, and now I think it's the only idea that can save the NBA. Yeah, it's amazing, right? I didn't think this is a really great idea. Okay. I thought this idea sounded great in theory, but now I think it's the only idea that could save the NBA. I was not a big fan of the bubble plan. I didn't think the Orlando bubble was a good idea.
Yes.
Right? I didn't think it was a good idea because it sounded good in theory versus in practice. Hey, we're gonna get the players all together. We're going to quarantine them. We're going to test them every day. They're going to be in a bubble. They're not going to be amongst anybody else. And this is what's going to work.
But you qualify after the first round, remember, a limited number of family members can go to the Disney complex.
Right, so exactly.
There's your motivation.
Win. Yeah, you got to win. Yeah, well, but if I lose, I can go home and see everybody. Well, yeah, that's true. Okay, well, but if I win, I can see three people. If I go home, I can see everybody. I'm going to go home.
Huh, so I didn't think of that.
I didn't think it was a good. I thought it was good in theory, because once you saw the NBA's plans coming out, it seemed like, how are you going to get a lid on this when you can play cards, but if you play cards, you have to throw the cards away right after. You can't play two versus two ping pong, even though you're slamming up and down against other people's bodies the entire night. No, but don't stand next to each other and play ping pong.
And cardiovascular, and they've said heavy breathing, of course, even in exercise, they've proved that that's more likely to transmit, because we're talking respiratory droplets, so the heavier you're breathing, like, say, in competition, the more likely it is to spread.
Yeah, I thought this is, it sounds great. It's like time travel. Like, you hear all these theories. No, time travel is possible. Time travel is completely possible. How do you do it? Well, there's the flux capacitor, and then there's timelines, and then there's this, and there's quantum physics involved.
Gigawatts. Don't forget gigawatts.
Yeah, and you're like, wait a minute. You're explaining the most complex thing in the world that probably isn't even real. That's kind of how I thought, you know, playing in the bubble was going to be. Hey, sounds like a great idea. Hey, I'd like to time travel. Time travel's right, but look how impossible it really is to time travel. I mean, really, unless you have a DeLorean, it's going to be really difficult to do. So I thought, but...
And those are harder to find, of course, these days.
They're very... Yeah, I mean, it's hard to find a DeLorean. I don't know you're going to find a DeLorean now. That's very difficult. You just had to wait 30 years and become a collector's item.
Actually, the odd thing is you'd have to go back to the future to find the DeLorean and then use it to go back to the future.
Hey, listen, you think there's people out there that are selling things in the future that are taking money from people going, yeah, I got it, but it's in the future.
Oh, wait a minute. Didn't Biff had the Bucco Sports with all the results in Back to the Future 2, and that's how he made the big money, because he knew the results of all the future World Series games.
I need a Mickey Mantle rookie card. I got one, but it's in the future. But here, if you give me $12,000, that's your card. And then when you get to the future, it's yours. I'll give it to you. I mean, is there some kind of scam going on where that's happening?
You know, which people brings us back future? To all these leagues. If they don't even know, and one of the leagues actually said this, I don't even know 3 weeks into the future. How can you ask me to predict 3 months into the future? And frankly, that's correct.
But now, seeing as how things have evolved in the past couple of weeks, where we can't really trust players, people, to social distance the right way, wear masks, and stop the spread of COVID-19. Right? We were on the way back down, coming down with everybody else, and I'm thinking, we're going to have fans at games. Everybody's making too much of this because look, we're flattening the curve and coronavirus, we're taking care of it. But no, not enough of us can go out and do it safely. And you're seeing athletes who decide we're going to go to a bar one night, and look what happens. Oh, we have COVID-19. Now I think the bubble is the only thing that can save the players, because they need to be in a situation where everything is controlled around them, mm-hmm. where they can be, say, okay, listen, this is what it is. We're going to test you. We're going to keep you safe. We're going to play basketball. You're going to get paid. You're going to get to have an unprecedented amount of exposure to everybody, your sport. We can push social justice like we never have before. We can do all these things. But the fact is that, as we've seen, trusting, you know, athletes in their 20s and 30s to say, okay, you got to do everything the right way and stay safe, I think that's impossible. I don't think you can say, yes, we'll do that. And look, is the NBA going to have to worry about what some people might say is, oh, it's a bad optic where you have all these players, you have a lot of black players in a bubble, and that's not going to be a good optic, which is kind of what Chris Paul was bringing about a couple weeks ago. But I think that's the only way you're going to be able to play, is to say, okay, let's control everything.
Yes.
Let's leave the NBA, we're going to control it all and keep everybody safe. Positive tests here, you're not playing, we're doing X, Y, and Z. We are in control of this.
Well, because even in that situation, you don't have total control. It's just the best you can do, which is why one baseball writer said, that's the wild, wild west, because baseball's still going to all the other stadiums in Interleague and all the other stadiums in your division, and they're making flights, and they're having series just like nothing's happening.
Yeah, you know, and the thing with baseball is that they're going in a way where I don't know that you can control. Look, you can't control. You can only do the best you can. You're right. And basketball, clearly, this is the best way you can do it. If we can control in a bubble and stop positive tests, because we can stop players from making a bad decision where they say, listen, I'm going to go out for a drink, or I'm going to go out to a restaurant, or I'm going to go do this, or somebody who has come to visit them that wasn't social distancing. And you know, you can control that, and that's going to keep everybody healthy, and that's a big positive for being able to play. Baseball, the best part is that, okay, yes, you're traveling, and that's probably not the best idea, but there is the least amount of interaction. And as we've known for coronavirus, is the longer you are exposed to someone, mm-hmm. or the more likely you are to get it. Baseball is the sport most made coronavirus friendly of all the team sports, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, the individual sports, clearly you can do it because we're seeing it come back. Yeah. But baseball, of the team sports, is the most coronavirus friendly. So that's where, okay, at least that's in baseball's wheelhouse, and that's on their side, that okay, the less of it's out there. But I'll tell you, if the NBA bubble really works, and I wonder if you're not going to see other sports go, okay, depending on how things go in our country, if we see a big spike and rise, it's going to be, well, guess what, we all have to find some kind of bubble, and that's the way forward. Because the first time somebody, one league, finds a successful way to do it, all the other leagues are going to copy it.
And do you know why? Overall, the bigger story is, why are we in this situation in sports in this country? Because our country didn't take the virus seriously. Because there are other countries, like Germany, that did, and they were able to finish their season. It just finished on FS1 last weekend. They're done with the actual regular season schedule. South Korea baseball have been on TV, granted with no fans, but they've really needed the TV exposure financially to keep that league afloat, and they've gotten it. And Taiwan, despite being close to China, took it very seriously, and they've had experience with pandemics, and it came in handy. And guess what? They were the first baseball league in the country to start. So these things, and Japan baseball recently started. Yeah. These are the things of why we're in a bind in this country.
Oh, I'll tell you, the bubble, I went from the bubble being, this is never, come on, how is this going to work, to in 10 days, it's, you know, the bubble may be the only thing that saves us.
So, having sports, like Rocky said, Rocky said, people can change. We've seen it on this show.
During this fight, I've seen a lot of changing. And I like how he got to talk to the crowd at the end. You know, like, well, what is that? What is it? Usually they do
in
the
English,
but he got to talk to the crowd with a translator. Right.
Well,
there.
It's kind it of English. It was Rocky after all.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline, it is Bleacher Report, Fox Sports 1 NBA insider Rick Bucher. And Rick, look, we'll get to this stuff with Adam Silver and as we get on, as the league is getting ready to come back, and J.R. Smith too. But, you know, the Lou Williams thing, for all the players not coming back, I mean, am I overestimating that? Boy, if Lou Williams doesn't play, that puts a huge dent in the Clippers' chances to win it all.
Yeah, I don't know. A dent, certainly. I don't know if it's a huge dent. I would say... I think you're underestimating a little bit the Avery Bradley. I think the distinction between Avery Bradley and Lou Williams there's a distinctive difference, but I don't think it's a monstrous difference. And I'm probably not expressing that well. I think the Lakers are going to miss Avery Bradley in a significant way. A lot of that depends on the condition of Rajon Rondo coming back. But there's a reason that Avery Bradley moved into the starting lineup and was getting a lot of runs. So the question with Lou, and I guess this is the thing, you know, remember when DeAndre Jordan was headed to the Dallas Mavericks, and Blake and Chris Paul and Doc Rivers all staked out his house? I would not be surprised if Doc Rivers is doing the same thing with Lou Williams right now. I know their relationship, and I would expect that Doc is going to be doing everything that he can to convince Lou to come along. I will be, it's very possible. I would be surprised when all is said and done if Lou ends up not going to Orlando. He hates the practice. He hates like anything that's beyond playing. So I get why he would be the guy that would express the most reluctance for a variety of reasons, obviously. But I feel like, with what the Clippers have, the possibility that they have, the relationship that Doc has with Lou, that they're going to find a way to get this done.
Rick, when it comes to now, let's go across the hall to J.R. Smith, who is going to wind up taking Avery Bradley's spot per se for the Lakers. Big story of the past 24 hours. I don't know, it sounds great, and J.R. Smith coming back is awesome, and that's going to be great because it's going to be fun. But I just don't know how much he's going to play. I mean, I feel like he's the let's break glass in case of emergency, because the Lakers, you know, KCP is going to play, and Waiters is going to play, and Alex Caruso is going to play, and Rondo. All these guys are going to play. I think this is just, hey, if something happens and we have to put you in, we'll put J.R. Smith in.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a matter of, are you going to leave that roster spot open? Well, no, not if you can fill it. And so who are you going to fill it with? Jamal Crawford, Nick Young, J.R. Smith. I mean, those are the candidates. Or those are the main candidates. J.R. Smith at least has a familiarity with LeBron. LeBron maybe unfortunately has a familiarity with J.R. Smith in some key situations, But as far as a guy who could defend a little bit and knock down a big shot and understand how to play off of LeBron, JR just makes the most sense. Of course, I'm talking about the JR that we saw about 2 years ago. There's a reason that they signed Dion Waiters ahead of JR Smith at this point in their respective careers. And so, yeah, I would fully expect that JR is only going to see time. Let's put it this way. If JR sees time, things are probably not going well for the Lakers.
Although, you know, at some point, you know what's going to come down to? He's going to be on the floor in the last minute of Game 7 and take an ill-advised shot. I mean, you just know somehow that's going to happen.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, you're like, you know, tomorrow is Wednesday. Yes, of course he is. I mean, he's gonna hit about three, like, oh my God, shots, and then he's gonna miss about seven in a row, and then he's gonna hit two more, oh my God, shots, and you don't know when they're gonna come. See, this is the thing. I don't know that it's a matter of like in a crunch time situation or it's in the first quarter. It's kind of like that roulette wheel. You know it's all going to happen. You just don't know when. And I don't think JR really knows. I think that's why he's so good or so fearless under pressure, is because he doesn't really know what's going on. It's just, I got the ball, there's the basket, I'm going to shoot it.
And that's par for the course. Rick, this is Steve. Amidst all the questions, and there are many about this year, I do have one question about next season to you, in that it's a pipe dream, isn't it, that next season for the NBA is starting first week of December. First off, this season's NBA Finals, even if we get to the NBA Finals, wouldn't end until mid-October. And they don't know about fans even being back for games in December still, right?
Yeah, no, I think we're a long way from having fans in the building, but I don't see anything as far as the timeline is concerned that they wouldn't be able to come back in December. What's your reasoning for that?
Because they were talking early December, and everybody, even before the virus, was saying, you know, they should kind of start on Christmas because they get all this attention on Christmas. That would be a good starting point for a season.
Yes, except that you have all that attention and you're going to see it at the beginning of this on July 30th. It's really, see, people, it's not very good basketball. We've had a couple of good games. Like Lakers Clippers was fun and I was impressed, but by and large, we get a lot of scrappy basketball early on, which is why Christmas is your showcase. So you'd want to have your teams to have 5, 6, 7, 8 games under their belt before you get to the showcase. Otherwise, it's like, hey, guys, we're back. It's basketball on Christmas. Oh, my God, this is awful. Because you get a lot of people on Christmas who are watching that may not watch the rest of the year or are not watching on a regular basis. So that's going to be their impression. And if you're buying, you know, if you're buying a jersey, if you're buying Kyrie Irving's jersey for your kid and he opens it up on Christmas and then Kyrie Irving goes 2 for 19, it kind of takes a little of the steam out of the gift, doesn't it?
Well, that's why Knicks jerseys are, no one's buying them anymore.
That's why we can't.
I can't risk my kid opening this jersey and being disappointed after he actually watches a game. I mean, I don't think they make Knicks jerseys anymore.
Or they're saying, I don't want to risk my kid walking out in public with a Knicks jersey.
Well, with Tom Thibodeau being the next coach of the New York Knicks, I think guys are going to have to earn, like, they're not going to get jerseys until they meet a certain level. They're going to be playing shirts and skins up until then.
Well, is that happening, Rick? Because the Knicks have, I think, 17 or 18 more people they want to talk to.
Yeah, but you know what? In all seriousness, I think that's a smart move by Leon Rose, because he's never done this before. So why not canvas the league? I mean, he knows Tom. Part of CAA, represented by World Wide West or affiliates thereof. So they know who Tibbs is, but why not bring in Mike Brown and pick his brain and, you know, find out what he did in Cleveland and what the Warriors are doing in Golden State, and just you know, collect as much knowledge as possible. I mean, that's really they're not the first to bring in a lot of different people and pick brains and get a base of knowledge. And especially for a guy like Leon Rose, who's never been in that position, I think it's actually a smart move, because you're never going to get the opportunity to peek into the playbook of this many different coaches or coaching candidates. And I dare say you get them where they're vying for potentially a job, or if not this time around, maybe the next time around. So they're going to give you their best goods. So I don't have a problem with doing it, especially, my understanding is we'll get the announcement sometime, second, third week in July. We'll find out. And, I honestly, that's fine, but I don't see any rush in doing this. Ultimately, I guess they want to get going. Their thinking is get the coach in place, get his, what he's expecting from the players to the players, get his playbook into their hands so that they can get going. So I guess it as I think out loud, it makes enough sense to do it next month. But as far as interviewing a bunch of people, I think that's just collecting knowledge, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
Rick Bucher with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager in for Mike. Now we get to the resumption of the NBA season, and certainly Adam Silver today making a lot of headlines saying we're not full speed ahead no matter what. COVID-19 could stop us at any point. Where is the NBA right now, Rick? Because this is, I look at this week as, boy, this is where the players are going to be the most nervous about returning. Are you seeing a situation in which, boy, things could change for the NBA as far as their plans to resume?
Not at this point. You know, I'll tell you what, the GMs that I talked to right before the players came in on the 24th were expecting a lot more positive tests than we got. We got, 16 out of 302? I think they were expecting, somewhere, nobody gave me a number, but I would dare say 80, 90 maybe, a much higher number, because they were asking Adam at that time, the GMs were, what's the cutoff number? How many have to test positive where we might shut this thing down? And they were thinking that they were going to get to it. The feeling is that with only 16 testing positive out of the 300 some, that you are now creating a bubble and an environment that should be safer and more COVID-free and COVID protected than where those 300 some players were prior to this. So I think that is simply, I think it's more PR, because there is the nervousness about Florida. We have the rise in cases nationwide. And so for the league to blindly say, hey, no problem, we're going forward, the whole idea of blindly going forward in this under these conditions would not be a good look. But I haven't heard anything from the league that would tell me that they have an increased nervousness or anxiety that what they are building is not going to hold up and protect their players, at least to get there and to experience it. If we get everybody in there and suddenly guys are testing positive left and right, or we get an older coach, a Mike D'Antoni or an Al Gentry, and they get gravely ill, then I think that would give them pause. But we're not there yet. And so right now, I think it's just a matter of Adam, testing the wind, understanding what the atmosphere is like in the country overall, and playing to that and saying, hey, we're aware of what's going on. And we're not going to just, play again at all costs, even though the mindset among the owners is we pretty much have to play at all costs because otherwise it's going to cost us way too much.
Yeah, and they've gone through this. Rick, my last question relates to what Adam Silver talked today about players may have to adapt their language, you know, what gets picked up by the microphones now on the telecast. It actually brings me to the question on a kind of a separate point. Have you watched live sports in the last month and what telecasts have done with no actual crowd noise? Because initially, like German soccer on FS1, you could hear everything from the players. It was like a scrimmage, and then they started pumping in crowd noise.
Yeah. No,
and what do you think?
I watched some Bundesliga games, and this is the thing that drives me crazy about the NBA. I mean, we're almost to cricket. I mean, let's just start wearing the white slacks and have tea at halftime, and it is... We're taking all of the flavor and passion and personality out of the game. We've taken the physicality out of it. We've taken the, you can't look sideways at a guy without drawing a tee. You can't emote. And now you can't curse. I mean, I was looking forward. Anybody has ever heard, I'm dating myself a little bit. Anybody ever heard Kevin Garnett curse? I mean, it was a work of art. It was profane, and I don't know necessarily that I want my kids under 12 hearing it, but it was good stuff. So, I mean, where are you drawing the line? Like, you know, look, just, you know, dropping F-bombs all over the place is one thing, but there's a certain trash talk that is profane that's what I was looking forward to, is hearing the back and forth. And the idea that Adam is telling them that they've got to tamp that down, I'm like, no way, man. I need that stuff.
And should they add crowd noise or NBA 2K sounds or something?
You know what? No. I mean, Orlando already does it in their regular games. and there are other teams that do. I mean, I guarantee you, teams amplify their noise level. I'm not for that. Trying to pretend this is going to be the same, or trying to create it like it's not going to be the same.
Right.
So just embrace that. Embrace that it's going to be different, and let's go into this and experience something completely new and different, rather than trying to. I mean, look, I don't know. I would think it was kind of bogus. Wouldn't do it for me. It's like the laugh tracks. Laugh tracks don't make don't make things funnier, do they?
MASH took it out eventually,
sure.
I think.
There you go.
You can follow him on Twitter with or without a laugh track. It is at Rick Bucher, Bleacher Report, Fox Sports 1, NBA Insider.
Except for that one.
Oh, no, Rick, that's a good one. That's a good one for you.
You like that one? You like the Kawhi one? All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff as always, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
All right. You got it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
You know, it's a little bit of hyperbole every day when we say this has changed forever. Certain things in our lives have changed forever because of our living with COVID-19. Certain things are changed for a little while. But certainly today, I think we saw sport change forever as the minor league baseball season was officially canceled earlier today. We thought this was coming. We didn't know what kind of season minor league baseball was going to have. And clearly, it was too risky in many circumstances to have minor league baseball continue. So they will not play. They will begin again with a fresh start in 2021. This is why this is going to change minor league baseball and baseball forever, because minor league baseball is not a big moneymaker,
right?
A lot of the minor league teams are subsidized by the major league teams. Some are independently owned.
That's right. A lot of them are not owned by the major league teams, so they have to pay for the equipment and the salaries, and they don't have the TV contracts that the majors do, of course.
Yeah, some are going to have to worry about major league being able to subsidize them. Some are going to say, well, we have to sell. And you're going to see many owners are going to have to sell the team because they have lost even more money now. And what I think this is going to wind up being is that we're going to come back to baseball next year, and you're still going to see AA and AAA baseball will be the same. Like, you're still going to see, because you need that pipeline to get from AA to AAA to the major leagues, and I think that will stay. But all those lower minor league teams, I don't think you're going to see. You may see teams only have single A, double A, triple A. No short season single A, no split season in double A, no two teams, no rookie leagues. No, I think you might see all that go out the window, and it might wind up being just straight A, double A, and triple A. And some teams, they might struggle to have a single A team. They might say, listen, we're going to figure something out and just bring some of our players and maybe, you know, share a team with somebody. I mean, you're going to see minor league baseball in a different way than we've ever seen it before next year.
And this was a problem before the virus. Remember, the contract between the major and minor leagues ends this year anyway, and Major League Baseball has already proposed reducing the minimum total of affiliates from 160 down to 120 teams. That's when politicians, especially with minor league towns, were saying, hey, this is part of Americana, this part of baseball. We shouldn't be getting rid of these teams now. They're going to have to because, as the association president in the minors said, we here in the minor leagues are fans in the stands business. We don't have the national TV revenues, and more than half of our 160 clubs are in danger of failing without new money now, without a loan or government assistance.
Look, and I've been to so many minor league games. Most of my life have been to more minor league games, and the stands are never filled. The stands never even filled to 10,000 capacity or 8,000
capacity.
It's a
4,000 average if you add all the levels.
Yeah, we are going to see. Major League Baseball is going to see their minor league and minor league baseball across the country change forever after this.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
15 more years the Mets will be doing this, paying Bobby Bonilla nearly $1.2 million on Bobby Bonilla Day. Bobby Bonilla Day, July 1st. And, you know, when the clock turns to July, Steve, there's always a couple of big days. Obviously, Bobby Bonilla Day on July 1st.
Oh, obviously, but, sure.
But July 9th is Jeff Fisher Day. 7-9 is Jeff Fisher. So we go from Bobby Bonilla Day to Jeff Fisher Day, which is 7-9.
Please explain.
Oh, well, because
his
Jeff
record
Fisher
every year. Yeah.
Always going 7-9. So July 9th is Jeff Fisher Day. Bobby Bonilla Day on the 1st. We have the 4th of July. Yeah. And then we have Jeff Fisher Day. It's three
two
days
winners.
Of holidays.
Yeah. As far as the Mets thing, though, in retrospect, and it's their job to think of this in advance, shouldn't you just not be paying off a player like that over such a long term simply because the story will come up again every year? Isn't that reason number one, maybe, to pay the lump sum check, be done with it?
I think if you could go back to the 2001 Mets, I think there's many things they would want to change. First thing is, don't listen to Bernie Madoff. Secondly, hey, it's going to be kind of embarrassing. And, you know, this is a team that was worth in the hundreds of millions of dollars back in 2001. It was, it's like $5 million. Let's just figure out a way to spread it out. Instead of giving them that money,
they had just
we'll
been
more
in the
money.
World Series.
Oh, I know.
Sorry to bring that up.
That's the Mets. That's how the Mets work. That's why I'm happy that now seven bidders have been approved to buy the Mets, Steve DeSager. That means somebody is going to buy the Mets, and we're going to be out from under the Wilpons. And that'll be the day I celebrate. Whatever day that closes, hopefully that closes in July, and we have Bobby Bonilla Day on the 1st, and then we have the 4th of July, then we have Jeff Fisher Day, then we have Mets Freedom Day, I guess you could call it.
Every year, sure.
And the first is that the new owners are going to say, hey, listen, Bobby, we're going to tear that agreement up. Or, you know, Bobby, we're just going to send you all that money now.
Okay, so we're going to send you that. Actually, Mr. Met is not going to be at any of these games, right? There's no mascots and no fans.
Well, I don't know. Mr. Met can be there. He's got the big head on, so he's kind of got the mask already. He's social distancing.
Okay, he could make a case. I wish he had a stronger union. I'm not expecting to see any.
Ooh, do the mascots have a union? Is there a mascot union?
Are you kidding? The cheerleaders were getting hourly pay, and they went to court.
Okay.
sports, well, in general, in this country, I'm talking about. This is not like Korea, where you've got the cheerleaders with the masks on the dugout, cheering literally with their backs to the field, cheering to no fans in the stands.
Okay,
it's not, not what I'm talking about.
No, no, but I wouldn't surprise me if there was a mascots union. You never know. There might be.
Really?
You got some powerful mascots there. Yeah, sure. You have the Philly Fanatic. You have Mr. Met. Yeah, other people.
Led by the San Diego Chicken, of course.
Bring Ted Gianulis' San Diego Chicken
Ted
back.
Ted Gianulis, you know, he should have organized a union because he was famous for one phrase. He was asked about what it was like being in that hot costume on the sunny afternoons during the summer ball games, sweating up a storm. His reply was, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the chicken. Frankly, words to live by. And also a labor issue.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Hey, listen, we have to make the that'd be the first thing. Can we make these costumes a little bit more cooler? Okay, can we do that? I mean, they're really, really hot. I remember passing out.
It was the equivalent of the old MLB wool uniforms, you know, nothing breathing back then. Bet they didn't pay him off.
I actually wore a chicken suit once. You want a good story? I wore a chicken suit at Fox Sports Radio because Ben Maller and I, my first time around at Fox, we used to do a weekend show on Saturdays and Sundays together in like 2001, 2002, 2003.
Right about and the ben time was, that Bobby awesome. Bonilla and Benny Agbayani were stars on the Mets. Yes.
Right, though. Andy Chavez. Sure. Yeah. All those players. And we did a show together on the weekends. It was a lot of fun. Oh, my God. The food we bought before a show was fantastic. And Ben and I did a show together. We made a bet on the NCAA tournament. And the loser would have to wear a chicken suit. So, and I lost.
In the studio or on the sidewalk or what?
No, in the studio for the show. The loser had to wear a chicken suit. So,
wait, there was no Twitter back then, right?
No, but it was still, the internet was big. And, you know, Ben had a website and he was, you know, going to put it up on his website. So, all right, great, we'll do it. It'll be a fun thing. And I wound up losing, of course. I think because I had Gonzaga and I was stupid because I was way too early on the Gonzaga.
Took a while in March.
Yeah. So
the loser goes on the fire.
So I had to go. I went up
fried
the street,
chicken.
Not too far. Luckily, there was a costume store not too far from the station. And I said, I need to rent a chicken costume. How long do you need it for? I go, like 4 hours. I go, well, you return it for a day and return it. I go, how much is it? It was like $35. I'm like, oh, okay, that's not bad. So I get a chicken costume, and I got to wear it for the entire show. And Ben put pictures up on the website of me, and I wore a chicken costume. And I had to wear the head in between segments, but obviously I couldn't wear it. We were talking because, you know,
I would just sound like this all the time.
And some people sound like that on the air now,
right? So yeah, but that, this, the thing is, that's not good radio. Yeah. So, but
you can't have 3 hours of that.
No, you can't have that. So I would wear, and I remember
it sounds like the bad
on.
Videotape in the old days.
Yeah, having it on.
I thought I taped this game, but Joe Buck's voice is really not coming through. Check the tracking.
Coming to bat now for the Yankees is Derek Jeter, which is a 4-5
Actually, about the time we were taping Mets games in 2000 is when that occurred.
Just turn the volume off. Just turn the volume off. And wearing it in between segments, it got so hot within seconds. I'm going, my God, the sweat is. And I'm somebody who sweats. You know, sometimes I just need to like look one way to the other, and I start sweating. And so I'm like, boy, this is just really awful. Like rivulets of sweat coming down my face. And every time I would take the chicken suit head off, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm in an air conditioned room. This is the best.
How does the Fanatic
wearing a chicken
do
suit.
It? All of them, most of them have, you know, the cartoon heads on.
Yeah, but at least they're outside walking around. I mean, I'm inside in the studio. There's no breeze. There's no air. But there's also, I don't know how often they get to go take their costume heads off and cool off for a little bit. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, I assume they get regulation breaks to do that during game. But is it every three innings? Is it every inning? Is it every half inning?
At least football, you've had halftime. I believe I have seen a costumed person at halftime taking the top of the chicken head off or whatever the costume was and just sitting exhausted for the 12-minute break before he had to go back out.
Oh, my God, look, that guy's not wearing his head. Oh, you've completely ruined the image of it. Oh,
wasn't it the BYU mascot? He was doing one of those flips in the end zone where you jump on the trampoline first and then and the head flipped off and went flying.
You might be right about that. You might be right.
That was separate from the BYU game where they had the parachutists coming in and landing right before kickoff, and one of them kind of missed the midfield circle that they had left for him and went straight into the wall beyond the end zone.
This is where you're supposed to land. Oh, yeah, I know. We tried that. It was just
still
was just
not as bad as the parachutist before kickoff of, I believe it was a Duke football game, who landed at the 50-yard line of the North Carolina Stadium 8 miles away. They did
not have
a game.
Where is
that
everybody?
Day.
Where is everybody? I don't know. This is where I was supposed to go.
Can you not see the crowd from up there?
I got everything right.
Are
I don't understand.
Serious?
This is the state. I mean, how many stadiums could there be? I mean, I'm in the stadium, right? But there's nobody parked here. Oh, there's a, you know, wait, did I get the time wrong? Maybe the game's in an hour. Oh, maybe I jumped an hour too early.
Oh, speaking of getting the time wrong, I must bring up this hour of the Las Vegas Korean baseball betting scandal from this past weekend. I guarantee you some point in the next half hour, I will be bringing that up.
Oh, boy. All right. Jason Smith, Steve DeSager, live from the Geico Studios. Now, earlier, we talked a few minutes ago, we were talking about two big changes for the National Football League. Look, and we'll continue to celebrate Bobby Bonilla Day because it's here. That the NFL is considering for this fall. One is cutting the number of preseason games. I can't see them playing any preseason games. They want to buy time. They want to be able, they're not going to want to risk the season by having players catch COVID-19 when they're playing games that don't matter.
So no Cam Newton versus Carolina preseason game.
Not going to get that. Not going to happen. I realize they're going to say we're going to do it, and then we're going to say the NFL is not going to make changes where it's going to be dribs and drabs like you're seeing with baseball and the NBA. It's going to be, here's what we're doing, and here's our changes for the season. And eventually it's going to be, we're playing the middle of October. There's going to be no preseason. We're coming to camp on September 1st. Whatever the days are going to be, then that's how we're doing it, and that's it. It's not going to be, well, we're going to look and see how this goes or see how this goes. They're going to make one decision, and it's going to come in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, and mainly because the NFL is not going to be able to see exactly what works, because by the time everybody's got to come to camp, which is going to be, you know, less than a month from now, we're going to only be into the first couple of days of the baseball season. And we're not even going to have the NBA yet. So it's not like they're going to have games and say, okay, they're following this philosophy and this seems to be working. Mm-hmm. They're not going to know anything by the time they come to camp. So that's why if they come in September, obviously it gives coronavirus more time to burn out for us to get it under control, to wear masks out in public, to be able to make sure we're not spreading this and slowing the spread. It gives them more time to say, okay, this is what worked for baseball. This is what worked for the NBA. Maybe this part can work for us. And I think that'll happen sometime in the next couple of weeks. I'll be really surprised if they wind up coming to camp at the end of this month.
And everybody is borrowing from everybody else worldwide in leagues of what worked, because this is also unprecedented. We talked last hour about, first hour about the television of sports and how that has looked different with the pumped in crowd noise. And then what's really been bad is one of the European soccer leagues maybe it's Spain. They've just been putting the video game type of fans in the stands so you don't have empty seats in the background. Yep. It is comical, but not in a good way. So really what you're saying, if there's no NFL preseason, then yet again, the Rams Stadium is still not opening yet. Because didn't Harmon have tickets to take his daughter to the Taylor Swift opening of the stadium before the preseason was due to start?
Yep.
Mid-August
first,
is when that new place is due to start. As it stands, if there's not a preseason, then that means the first Sunday night game is supposed to be Rams hosting the Cowboys, right? Then that would be the grand opening, and then the Chargers host in the same place 1 week after that. Assuming, again, we have that going.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.